Hey, welcome everybody. It's We Watch Stuff 157. Not actually a week late or anything. We put the show out last Monday. I know we recorded the week before. Anyways, I'm Jeremy. Joining me as always is Shahid. What is going on, man?
Nothing much. Just enjoying the weather that finally stopped raining because it's been raining since Monday, like hard hair. And this act the sun just popped up now. So everything's going well. And I ran into one of those situations where a movie which we clowned and talked about, like, why are they doing it and what could it do, shows up, makes a whole bunch of money, and makes us look dumb.
Okay, so I don't know if it really made us look dumb. No one expected this movie to make this much. It came in over what they expected. And then the
A
fact
lot
that
over.
and then the fact that it's made $200 million now due to the overseas money or box office, that's what I was going for. I guess you can never underestimate the weirness of Europe, so and the
And
rest of
it
the world.
hadn't come
So
out in China yet. If anyone hasn't guessed by now, we're talking about Venom that
yeah.
came out this past weekend. And I want to start this one because, like,
Yeah.
when the movie was over, I felt bad because I liked it a lot. And not because I didn't feel bad liking it. I felt bad because I knew it was blasphemous. Because I'm like, I told people, they asked me, like, if you're a Spider-Man fan and you care about the comics or, like, source material in any way whatsoever, then you will not like this movie at all. But if you just want to see, like, a batshit crazy Tom Hardy movie that's just fun, yeah, like, it's one of those, it's not a good movie, but it's a fun movie. And Tom Hardy's the main reason this movie works. Like, I couldn't see anybody else doing this movie and having it work.
See, I at least liked it a lot, and when it was over, I just looked at it, I was like, "Well, that's over." Oh no, I was like, "Well, we saw that one," and she just kind of stopped, like, mouth again, like, "I liked it a lot." I'm like, "Cool." I don't know. I was bored, and then it just I enjoyed the beginning when they were going through like the horror elements of it, And you brought that up. How it was like a horror movie to begin with, and then changed into a superhero or sci-fi, whatever you want movie. I enjoyed it a lot more when they were going for the horror part. I just thought that was cool. And especially when he was walking through the generic lab with the generic villain at the helm, and the crackhead homeless lady popped out at him like a horror movie. I'm like, oh, this could be really cool. And then it just, I don't know.
No, you know what I know exactly what you're talking about, because it's like two different movies
Yeah.
that are like fighting with each other, and it's funny because that coincides with arguments like the director wanted it more serious, and Tom Hardy wanted it like less serious. And I'm like, you look at a movie where on one hand you see Tom Hardy jumping into an aquarium eating a live lobster in a restaurant. And like 10, 5 minutes around that same time, a child gets murdered.
Wait,
I'm like,
what did I miss? What child got killed?
do you remember when the other symbiote jumping from body to body? Those
Oh,
people,
yeah, I'm sorry. Yes.
like those people aren't like, you go there, okay, first you see jumping to the paramedic and then the old lady. So you know it's like after having people die. And then you see her looking at the little girl and it's like, they're not gonna have her take the little. I'm like, oh yeah, of course this movie's gonna do that. And it's like, yeah, this is, you don't see child murder in movies, period. Especially like a superhero movie. And we laugh when they say, like, this isn't your hero's movie, this is an anti-hero movie, and it's like, yeah, right. And you point out, like, this is one probably the most violent PG-13 movie I've seen. He's beating up cops with other cops. He ate a but he ate he's eating people's heads. Like, not just, it's not like I'm just, I accidentally killed you or I pushed you out off a bridge. Like, no, I ate you on purpose.
Okay, I mean, not to jump around this, but this is a perfect time for it. I messaged you this. This was the most violent PG-13 movie I've ever seen, and that includes Red Dawn. No, was Red Dawn PG-13? Or was that R? Either way. Okay, the one scene that really stood out to me in this case was he's at the what was the name of the paper he was working for, or TV station? whatever it was. I can't remember. Yeah, exactly. And that's one of the big things with me in this movie. But so he goes there. They have all the cops downstairs. He turns into Venom, grabs a cop, I'm guessing kills him, and beats the hell out of the other cops with that dead cop's body. And I'm sitting there going, this is PG-13, huh?
Beating a dude with another dude.
Yeah, beating dudes with another dude.
Yeah, a cop. He's just jumping around from, you know, beating up cops, and he's about to eat one, and then she's like, no, you can't do that. It's like, Michelle Williams, you're a little late.
Yeah. Like, hey, you should have stopped him from beating the other guys.
Yeah, like, where were you at 5 minutes ago? No. This movie, like, the tone was just all over the place where you had violent stuff that was, like, real body horror, real violent stuff. And then you had Tom Hardy doing his Looney Tunes thing. Like, Tom Hardy has this thing where he's this handsome, great actor, and he wants to hide his face and do funny voices.
Yeah.
Like, that's his thing. And people just, like, and I was like, I mean, it worked. That's what's kind of funny. Like, I know why it should have been an R movie, but I know why they did PG-13, because it's like, you're not going to make as much money doing R-rated. The humor, like, I'll say this. The humor worked. I don't know if it was supposed to be as funny as it was, and judging by, like, the first 30, 40 minutes, it clearly was not like that type of movie, because it's like two different movies. It's a horror suspense movie the first 30, 40 minutes till Venom shows up, and then it becomes a gay action buddy cop movie.
Yeah.
With Tom Hardy talking to, and I didn't even realize that Venom voice was also Tom Hardy.
That actually didn't surprise me too much, but I didn't, did you stay till the end of the credits for the Spider-Verse stuff?
No, because you told me to go ahead and leave. I stayed for the first part. I didn't stay for the second part.
Now, the reason I asked that was I didn't bother with the credits because those were the longest credits I've ever seen. I don't know if they were scrolling them slow. Maybe it was because I didn't enjoy the movie all that much. I don't know what it was. Oh, my God. I'm like, are we kidding here? And I wasn't even reading them. I was just anxious to get out of there. And that's why I said you didn't need to stay. It had nothing to do with anything else.
Yeah, once you told me that, like, I didn't stay because I know the credits was going wild. But, yeah, it's like that type of movie where it's just like it's two different movies. And normally that's a disaster. Like, you saw with, like, Fantastic Four, you saw that, like, two separate movies, and it didn't work at all. This one, I keep feeling bad. Like, this one, I didn't think I was going to enjoy this. Like, let me paraphrase. It's not a good movie at all. Like, because it's kind of like the story doesn't make any sense. It's real empty. Like, it's like Tom Hardy and then people.
Thank you.
That's the point. It's basically Tom Hardy show. It's like everybody else is barely, like, Michelle Williams, bless her soul, did as much as she could with a role that didn't mean anything. Jenny Slate is basically there to die. You know, the main villain is basically Elon Musk.
Okay. So, sure. Here's one of my big problems with this movie. The main villain is god-awful. Marvel, and I know this isn't exactly a Marvel movie, Marvel has that stigma of weak-ass villains and making them funny doing this. This guy was just, huh? Like, wait a minute, why are you scary? I'm confused. And also, why are you so evil? It was like, okay, I'm evil, and I want the human race to continue existing, and the only idea I've come up with is getting these aliens, because I like space, and, much of a bad guy, but I am a bad guy because I allow one of the symbiotes, that was grating every time they said it in the movie. When they would say symbiote, it just... Oh.
Well, look at it this way. They didn't say symbiote like they did in the trailers.
Yeah.
So they said, and you know what's funny? I was thinking about the villain still being over the top and not making any sense. And then I'm like, he sounds like a tech bro. Because you hear Elon, like, I'm like, I just heard Elon Musk talk the same shit he's been talking all summer. And he's a real life person. And that's like kind of like the weird thing where we've reached a point where real life people sound more cartoonish than quote unquote cartoon villains. So that part didn't bother me. It was just like, it didn't, cause he was being ruthless. Like, you know, tell me where he is. So, you know, think about your family. Don't you care about your family? They don't have a job. She tell him he kills her anyway. Don't come back without this. Like, he was this ruthless an asshole. And I'm like, okay, you know he's dangerous. You're making this big deal about he's dangerous. That's why you're not going to go to the cops. But you're going to go to Eddie Brock? This dude that got fired? Like, what's he going to do the cops not going to do?
Yes. And all right. And I guess we have to, I don't know if apology or back off. We were goofing on the trailer because, you know, he's great at disappearing doing this. And he goes, you suck at it. And then the preview shows, like, well, you know, she sucks at it. Then he's, you know, aggressively combating the guy. And at least in the trailer, it was different. Or the movie, it was different. Like, we probably should have guessed anyways. But, no, everything to me in this movie was generic. You got Tom Hardy going all over the place. But then you've got, and Michelle Williams wasn't in this enough to really combat this. Who were all these other people?
Yeah, boyfriend that's all calm. Oh, I guess something's going wrong with you. Like, you just seen a man look like he's having a crack seizure. Yes. And it's like, let's just take you to a hospital. Let's see what's going on, guy. Like, people was acting way more calm than the situations, like, called for. Like, you know, you got his boss that's just let him do this. So, like, I know I'm a loose cannon. I'm going to have him interview one of the richest men on the planet, knowing it's a bad idea. Let's go ahead. Just ask him these questions. And he's there like, you know, I heard you murder people. What's about that?
Yes. Well, I heard you don't really care about anything. So I'm like,
yeah. Okay. Oh, you're fired. Like, I heard something happened in New York. I should have known better than trust you. I guess you're fired. I like the fact that it's like, at least Michelle Williams, they play that relationship like, yeah, I love him, but he's an asshole, and I really don't need to be with him because it's not healthy for me. And that helps because he got her fired, too.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole, you know, what was funny about this? The whole thing about him is like, you know, you can't do the whole Spider-Man background with Venom, even though that's basically where Venom comes from. So basically they're together because they're both losers. And them being together, they'll be less of a loser. I haven't seen, like, I mean, that's a weird tack to go in, like, a quote-unquote superhero movie. We haven't seen that before. It worked because it's, like, it made as much. I think they did the best they could with all of the hamstrings, self-hamstring and self-limits that they had with it. Because I'll say this, the Venom stuff was funny. And, like, him, the biggest laugh there was the movie theater was when he's, you know, he's up there. And he's like, why don't you just jump off the building? He's like, no, I'm afraid of heights. And he calls him a pussy.
Mm-hmm.
I laughed for, like, 20 seconds. I don't know why I'm so funny because it was just out of nowhere. Because, you know, he don't say anything. Then you just hear, pussy. And, like, yeah. This Venom voice. And people, like, and it's like the humor, when they did the humor stuff, the humor worked because Tom Hardy, this movie, he's eating food out the garbage can. The first time he hears the voice, he hits the vanity mirror and blacks out. Like, he's acting like somebody would really act if they had that type of alien thing. And he just went, he was like Jim Carrey. And you don't see that anymore, like, in these type of movies. Like, you don't see somebody just like, I'm just going to go with it. Like, oh, I'm going to go, I don't care how ridiculous I look, how embarrassing I look, I'm just going to go all out and just go 100%. So kudos to him for doing that. But you were right, like, the movie's just, it's him and a bunch of nothing.
Yeah, it's almost seemed like it was on purpose. Just surround him with a bunch of people that, you don't know who the hell these people are, and just allow Tom Hardy to do everything. But then even, like, Venom stood out, obviously, when he was, you know, got in, I mean, the design, all that stuff. But then, what was the main symbiote's problem, or what was his name?
Riot.
Yeah, okay, wait, what?
I know, okay, I know what that was for, because people brought that up. They probably, like, you know, if we do this, and quote-unquote, we get a sequel, we need to save our biggest villain for the sequel. Like, the whole... Yeah. Batman thing, because, like, you know, you're not going to waste Carnage on this if he thinks it works. Because, like, you know, like, Batman Begins, like, you know, the original Batman is like Batman and the Joker. Batman Begins is like, you know, we do Ra's al Ghul and the Scarecrow, and we save, you know, the Joker for the second one. And, like, a lot of those, you know, it's kind of like sometimes they have the main villain, the first one, and sometimes they save villains, because, and then... I don't, like, norm. We talk about all the time about villains being an issue. This one, I didn't have a problem with it because Tom Hardy sucked up so much damn scenery that having important villain as a villain would have been a waste of time, because like you wouldn't have enough time to flesh him out. Like, have a disposable one for this one, especially considering, spoiler alert, it just could be on the notice, Woody Harrelson's gonna be Carnage. Can you imagine a movie with both of those Jokers just eating up scenery for 2 hours?
Yes. Well, if that's what happens. And boy, he looked goofy in that wig, by the way. That was not expected. But
I think that was the point. And I saw that, and I just, because it came up and people were like, wait, that's Woody Harrelson? And then they started laughing because you see that hair. Like, this hair is just ridiculous.
Yes, yes. And I know Cassidy was kind of ridiculous anyways, but no, the problem with the villain was, well, one, the guy, and then two, Riot takes over. He's supposedly this big badass, and he lasts 5 minutes. And I'm like, that's it? He's supposed to be this giant, like Venom was scared of him, or not scared, mm-hmm,
like,
all this.
And he was scared of him. He's like, he got shit we haven't even seen. More than likely, we're going to die.
Yeah, and then, bye-bye? Like, what?
I mean, he lost the fight. It just happened because they blew up the rocket ship. He was on the rocket ship. And,
did you hear what you just said? They blew up the rocket ship, which needs to be. So he has all of these people on standby for a rocket. Like, I'm going, this is really rushed.
Wait, who'd that remind you of?
I know, but I'm just thinking.
Yeah, people like, and the one person that kind of questioned that, like, this seems kind of odd, he dies, and then he just kills everybody else. It's kind of like, it's like, if this movie came out in 2010, I'm like, there's no way you're going to have some rich guy acting this ludicrous. Like, it would make no sense. But now, we see guys like this in real life. And we see guys act like this in real life with real life stakes. So it's like, I guess this old plan, like, we're going to go ahead and get all these aliens and come back to, murder all the humans and run Earth. And Venom's thing is like, well, I guess so, but I was a loser there. I'm less of a loser here, so we're going to stop it. I mean, that's selfish, but it's kind of self. I mean, plenty of people have done stuff like that for reasons like that. I want to feel special. And it's weird because, it has nothing to do with the comic. And it's one of those things where Venom is so tied into Spider-Man that our main thing we talked about is like, how are you going to do a Venom movie without Spider-Man and not mentioning anything related to Spider-Man? Mm-hmm. And this is how they did it. Like, it'd been better off if you could mention Spider-Man, but kudos to them for doing what they did, considering and it's kind of like saying, like, if you didn't know he's a Spider-Man villain, you probably wouldn't even mention it. But like, who's watching this that didn't know that?
Yeah. Well,
because Spider-Man movies make money. I think that's the biggest thing, and that's, we didn't take that into account. Even the bad ones make money.
Well, I think also, like, comic movies have spawned, like, a whole new set of people that don't know the comics, don't know anything, but they're going to see these movies now. And I think that's, like, the main thing about it now, at least, is people don't have to know the source material anymore. Because, they've got all this other stuff that they can look forward to and go with it from there. So,
but you got to know this one, because like, this made like Doctor Strange money. Like, this made way more than both Ant-Man movies. Like, his first week, staying power probably different, because that's the difference between, a good movie and a bad movie. A bad movie might make a lot in the beginning, but unless people really like it, it's not going to make money in the long run. But at the same time, it's like $80 million in October is still $80 million. And I think it's kind of like, people make fun of Venom being a 90s villain, but Venom was a big-ass deal when it came out. And, like, it's got the cool design, and it's related to Spider-Man. And, like I told you, the main problem with the Sony Amazing Spider-Man movies was that it cost too much. Because they were making money, but it's like, making $700 million is fine, but it's not fine when you're spending $225 million to make the movie. And this one only spent $100 million. So,
and it made, what, $200 million worldwide?
And it's not even out in China yet. So it's going to definitely make a profit. It'll probably definitely do well enough to be a sequel. People, like, it's funny where it's one of those Rotten Tomatoes rating is like in the 20s. But fans, like, it's funny. Like, fans seem to enjoy it. The non-comic disciple type fans, like the regular, quote unquote, I just want to see a superhero movie. I like Tom Hardy. They like it. Like, if you go in with that mindset, it's fine. If you go in a mindset like comparing to a Marvel movie or based on the comics, it's the movie's not, it's disjointed. It just doesn't make any sense. But I think, and I'll, one of the weirdest things is I'm kind of glad that this kind of came out, because it's not that Marvel could have definitely did better, but I don't want Marvel to make all the movies, like, you know, because it's like, You know, you'll get a good to great movie, but it'll be like same, like not same, but like safe.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the things like Fox movies and Sony movies and like even DC movies are, you have no idea. Like it might be trash. It might be great, but it'll be something different. And this is like different, because you can imagine Marvel making this. Like, you really going to have him, like Venom, making out with Eddie Brock?
Yeah, well, yeah, that, and then, all right, that was another thing in this. The way the symbiotes jumped around, like, the one made sense because it was evil, and it was basically killing stuff. So, one part I didn't really quite get all the way. So, Venom is killing Eddie Brock inside unless he eats? Is that what I was supposed to get, like a vampire thing?
Basically, like, you know, I got to feed off something. If I'm not eating food, I'm going to eat from you. Because he basically said, like, oh, you better eat something because your liver looking real good.
Okay. That's what I thought it was. But I'm like, wait, what? So then, yeah, and that's why the whole cannibal thing just kind of cracked. Well, I don't know if it'd be cannibalistic, but just that whole thing about eating people, eating bad people, and whatever else. I'm like, what? So, like, this is the good guy, huh? And someone goes, well, he's an anti-hero. That's not exactly what an anti-hero is, but it's, I didn't hate it, I just didn't really care. And I would hope for the second, especially if Woody Harrelson's in, and this is another movie I don't think I brought up that I saw, but Woody Harrelson, for whatever reason, you know, his first job, like first mainstream job, was as oh my God, what was his name on Cheers? Woody.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, big stretch. But it was Woody's Cheer. So to me, he's always had like that kind of goofy ass, you know, I don't know, demeanor about him. And he's got, you know, he's got that southern drawl and all that stuff and just kind of weird, you know. But so you see him in these serious movies and then like him as Cassidy almost seems perfect. And I hope like between his chops and Tom Hardy's chops that, you know, the next one will be bigger and better. And I don't mean budget-wise. I just mean with the insanity of these things. Cause
yeah, it's think about that. Because, one, the fact that this worked and Tom Hardy got proven right, so more than likely it's going to be like a Deadpool thing. Like, they're going to listen to him more. They're going to throw more money in. And it's like, yeah, Tom Hardy and Woody Harrelson, like, chewing scenery for 2 hours.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, and this whole, and like, you know, yeah, like it's funny. Like, I'm looking for, if they make a sequel, I would look forward to that sequel. I would have never thought I would say that about this stupid ass movie, but it's kind of like, it's kudos to them. They made me like a movie that I did not want. Like, I went in there not expecting anything. Like, I thought it was going to be trash. And I'm like, okay, I'll give it a chance and see that. And it was like a, you know what it was? It was a 2000s pre-MCU movie, like Daredevil, Ghost Rider style movie. Like, you know, where it was like stuff was just messy. They didn't fit the storyline well, and it was just all over the place. And it basically worked or didn't work based on how much, you know, how good the star was or how into it was. And Tom Hardy, bless his heart, he went for it. Like, you know, he was all in. And I would have never thought, like, you know, the whole scene route thing, because it jumps out of him when they do the whole MRI thing, and it goes into the dog, and then you see Michelle Williams looking at the dog, and it's like, what's about to happen here? Like, I'm thinking, like, maybe the dog's gonna murder Michelle Williams.
That's what I was waiting for, like, the dog to all of a sudden be, like, really violent.
Yeah, and instead, it jumps out, gets into Michelle Williams, and I see a Venom clad Michelle Williams making out with Tom Hardy, going to Tom Hardy basically making out with himself, which leads to, at the end of the movie, like, you know, Michelle, this woman is, hasn't she been, like, nominated for an Oscar before?
Didn't, like, she win?
You know, or win? Like, I know she's, like, acclaimed. I'm sorry about what happened to Venom.
Yeah, like,
with sincerity. And he's like, yeah, you know, like, how to feel, like, you know, when I felt it, I felt the power. It's like, I kind of know where you're coming from. And this, like, wow, this is a weird ass movie. And then it's like, oh no, he pops out, like, yeah, she has no idea we're getting back together and all this stuff. It's like, this just seems, like, wrong. But I think that's why I enjoyed it. Like, this movie's just off, where it's like, you know, he's not a good person. He wasn't a good person when the movie starts. He's not really all that good when the movie ends. It's like, you know, we can't eat people most of the time. But if they're real bad, I guess we can. You know, like, if push comes to shove, I guess murder is fine. And it's like, that's dark man shit.
Yeah.
Like, you don't see that. Like, you don't see that anymore. And, like, I just imagine tomorrow is a chance. He pop up in, like, a Spider-Man Disney movie. Can you imagine Tom Hardy popping up in, a Spider-Man movie? Like, surprise, here's Venom. Like, that's just, yeah, like, Disney don't take those type of risks.
It'd be interesting. Michelle Williams did not win. She was nominated in 2006 for Brokeback Mountain for Best Supporting, Best Actress in 2012 and 11. 12 was My Week with Marilyn. 2011 was the incredibly overhyped Blue Valentine. And then 2017, Supporting Actress, Manchester by the Sea.
Yeah, four times.
And she's sorry about your friend Venom.
Yeah, like, four-time Academy nominee Michelle Williams is playing the, you know, the aggrieved, jilted ex-girlfriend of Eddie Brock and just stuff like that. Like, yeah, I didn't regret seeing it. If I would had a chance seeing it again, I would see it again. I know it's blasphemy saying that. It's like, I liked it. I shouldn't have liked it, but it was... Tom Hardy sucked me in. That's all I'll say. Like, it wasn't good, but it was fun.
Yeah. I don't know. I got nothing else. I just mixed in the middle for me. I mean, it's one of those things where, yeah, I'll go see the sequel. So, let's say I'm sitting here bitching about all this stuff, but I'm still going to go see the next one. I guess I'm part of the problem.
We are the problem. And somebody put, like, see, it's people like y'all, and y'all going to be wondering 10 years from now when it's a Venom verse what happened, and it's going to be people like y'all. I'm like, hey, whatever. If it's fun, it's fun. I have fun. So you call what you want. If I'm the problem, why Sony's doing this, I'm like, if Marvel gets to make its regular Spider-Man movies and Sony makes these bastard Spider-Man movies, I get to see both. It's like, you know, sometimes you want filet mignon, sometimes you just want nachos.
Yeah. I've actually had filet mignon nachos before. No, they were prime rib nachos. Either way, they were awesome. So anyway, speaking of awesome, let's get on to something that, it's so stupid to talk about trailers, but I don't care. The 5-minute trailer, or I guess that was a trailer. I don't know. It was long.
It was a trailer. Like, I'm like, did you see that trailer? And I'm like, no. And then I'm like, wait a second, 5:14. This a long. Like, that's a lot. And it's funny where it didn't really spoil the movie. It just kind of fleshed out stuff you already seen. Mm-hmm. And it's like, if people didn't remember that James Wan knows how to direct. He just reminded you, like, yeah, he knows what he's doing. That camera, like, that long take that was, like, 30 seconds with them running in the desert. I'm like, one, you wouldn't think of Aquaman in the Aquaman in desert wouldn't even make sense.
Right.
But I'm like, you see that, you see Black Manta's suit and the powers on there and everything like that. Like, this movie looks fun. Like, it looks fun. Like, that's the thing that's kept popping. Like, it's bright, it's vibrant. People just seem like, you know, they're having fun. And then at the end, you see him with the OG Aquaman costume. Mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah, this ain't no Zack Snyder filter right here. Like, these colors are popping.
And that's what, all right, so one, that was awesome. Two, that makes me look forward to Wonder Man 1984 that much more, because it's no longer the dark, well, Shazam, I guess, as well, but it's no longer this dark-ass, muted colors, whatever else. I mean, there was nothing in Aquaman that was muted. Everything was vibrant. Everything was alive in this thing. It wasn't dull. It wasn't drab. I mean, you're going through dark water. Yeah, it's going to be a little dark because that's how it works. But then as soon as you see Atlantis, everything comes to life again. Or I don't know if that was Atlantis or not, because I guess Atlantis was in the desert, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So whatever they're going to, in the comics, he's in Atlantis. So it's like, all right, well. But as soon as it comes above, everything's alive. And it's like, wait a minute, do they have the right people involved here? So, Kathleen Kennedy, right? That's who directed Wonder Woman, correct?
No, Kathleen Kennedy is the head producer of Star Wars.
Yes, that's totally wrong. I knew it.
What the fuck? Patty Jenkins.
Thank
is,
you.
Yes, directed Wonder Woman.
There's three women involved in comics.
Yeah, or as you called it, Wonder Man 1984 or something.
I said
like
Wonder Woman. I just said it fast. Yeah, I just said it fast. I think I said it right. So, although now, just by planting that little seed, I'm going, no, I said it right. I might have said it right. Yeah, I don't know. Whatever. I'm looking forward to it. That's how excited I am by this stuff that, you know. Mm-hmm. But, no, I think with her helming Wonder Woman, give her all the money and get her for the second one. Or, I'm sorry, the third one. And then that's why I asked you, do they have James Wan on the hook for the second one? If not,
they're going to have to open up. I mean, as we're going to jump into a little later, they open up the checkbook for stuff like that. And it's kind of like, you know, if you don't plan now, we plan later. And no, it's like, this movie looks fun. And I'm considering the fact that they moved Battle Angel from
December. We were just discussing that last show.
Yeah. I was like, somebody from Fox popped open the account and like, oh, maybe we need to move some stuff. So they're going to have, a PG-13 cut of Deadpool come out. They move Battle Angel. I don't know. No, they said untitled. Who knows? They said untitled Deadpool movie. And they didn't say what type or anything like that. Who knows? Some people thinking that's what it may be, kind of like see how that'll work, considering like by that time, like the Fox stuff will be official. They move Battle Angel to February and they move X-Men to June, I think. Yeah. So, and like, yeah, this X-Men movie, like they just keep moving and moving, but that's neither here nor there. But no, it's like, I'm definitely looking forward to see Aquaman. That trailer looks like made me want to see that movie, and it's like that movie's going to do well. Like, it's one of those type of things, like with DC, you're wary, but you knew that Wonder Woman's good. You know that James Wan know what he's doing. It's like, you'd be interested in seeing this. Like, and you know, Star Wars isn't out in December, so it's less competition. So it's like, why not? And people like bright stuff. And the whole thing is why it's working is they're embracing the comic stuff. They're not being afraid of it or try to have it gritty, stuff like that. It's like, you got to have ball. You're going to have Jason Momoa and like green and gold stand out there like a straight from the comic books. Like, if you're going to go for it, go for it. Like, don't half-ass. And he ain't half-assing. So, yeah, I'll be there.
Yeah, it's quit being embarrassed of the shit that's made you a lot of money over the years. And I think that's one of the more unforgivable things. So, I watched this, and I knew you were at Venom, and I didn't care. So I was like, I need to talk to someone that would appreciate it. And that was just one. I was like, my God, they did it. They made Aquaman look fucking awesome. So we'll see. We'll see how it sticks. Obviously.
Yeah. Imagine somebody would have told you one day that Conan would be an awesome Aquaman. A bad Conan at that.
Yeah, and I always thought that Momoa would have been a better Hawkman. Because that's all Hawkman is Conan with wings, basically. That's how you treat it, but whatever.
Yeah, because they basically turn Aquaman into like a surfer dude, bro. And it's like, I never thought of Aquaman that way. But it's like, you can say what you want. Jason Momoa is super handsome and cool. And he's one of those, like, you know, he's one of those where everybody, like, people like, it's not like, you know, the whole women like him and men don't. It's like, men think he's cool if they got any... If they got any security in themselves, and women love them, so they gonna be there. Amber Heard's hair still freaking me out a little bit, just because it's that Eva Marie red, like it's that red you see nature. It's like that red you see in like anime, but it's like it's a movie on the water. So why am I worried? Now, I'm like, it should be like it's. I'm not gonna complain about hair being too bright. It's a comic movie, so. Let that shit pop.
Well, especially that's how it should look, though. I mean, that's a trait. It's that's not even fire red. That's just insane red. But that's how it should be. And then if it was like Justice League or whatever, that stuff would be so toned down. It'd be generic. I mean, it'd be boring. And I toning down things that are supposed to be over the top doesn't work. I mean, think about Iron Man. If it was just him running around in like a bare-bones suit, and then all of a sudden at the end, you get the shiny thing, but it took you two movies and 17 different directors. You know, like, just like, no, just go for it. And because if Iron Man doesn't hit, none of this Marvel stuff's going to work. And that's DC's problem is they...
It's a lot of people's problem. It's like you have these adults who... deep down feel secretly ashamed that they're doing these movies. So they try to do as much as they can to have it not look like that movie. Just like, shut up. Robert Downey Jr. could buy a goddamn island with that Iron Man money. Like, embrace that shit. You'll do just fine. And considering the fact that, you know, Warner Brothers like, hey, if Marvel can't use James Gunn, quote unquote, we'll sign him to do Suicide Squad 2. And it's kind of like, why not? You know, like he's stuff jokes aside and stuff aside, he's very talented what he does. And it's funny where people, if all you saw was Guardians, you'd be thinking like, is this a good fit? Because you know, Guardians is one type of thing, and Suicide Squad, like you try to rip off Guardians. Like, if you've seen some of James Gunn and the other stuff, it's like, yeah, he's a perfect writer slash director for Suicide Squad. Because I saw Super on Netflix, and I'm like, yeah, this ain't the type of movie you can recommend. This one of those, like, you enjoy the movie, but you can't necessarily recommend that to somebody without them looking at you funny.
Yeah, I try getting through it, and I'm like, all right, and maybe I'll go back and try it again, but I don't know.
It's like stalker stuff is, like, basically rape going on. Ellen Page's character is just, like, it's just... Yeah, it's one of those, like, I doubt it would fly when it came out, much less now, but it's like one of those things where, like, this guy made this? And that's why I was laughing when Disney hired him in the first place, like, you sure about this? Like, so it definitely fit the whole the Suicide Squad vibe, and it's like, that's what Warner Brothers should do, hire people that's talented. If you're going to go ahead and steal stuff from Marvel, go ahead and steal them. If Marvel don't want to use, if Disney and Marvel don't want to use them for reasons, there's no honor in this whole thing.
No.
Go ahead, throw the money out. Like, it's Suicide Squad anyway, so you got him with Warner Brothers money and, like, Will Smith and, like, you know, Margaret, like, we both saw Suicide Squad. We both had our thoughts about it. And it's kind of like, I wasn't really jazzed on the sequel, stuff like this. I would definitely see a sequel with him writing it. Like, no matter how you feel about him personally, it's kind of like, I wish I had people defend me as much as his fans defend him. That's neither here nor there. I would definitely see what he would do with kind of like less restriction. Like, you know, I get to do the movie. I get to be like a more rough and tumble type movie with big budget money and not have like big dad, you know, make sure you drive this car right. You ain't going to scuff the paint type thing.
Yeah. And then also, if you can get Batista to follow along with you, trying to figure out what DC character he can play. Because it seems like, you know, wherever he goes, Dave's going. So, yeah. And, well, I mean, I know he's probably under contract, but, you know. Whatever.
Yeah. I mean, and people talking about, oh, what's Marvel going to do? Hire Taika Waititi and have him money. Do it. Yeah, like, they could just, I mean, they could just slide over, they could just have him do Guardians 3, and it'd be like, they'll be just fine. Like, oh, whatever Marvel will do, if they can't do any more Guardians of the Galaxy movies, like, it's, you know, they got a damn Eternals movie coming out, not even talking about the fact that, you know, they just got the damn X-Men. Like, you don't have to shed tears for Marvel. Marvel slash Disney will be just fine. If this leads to DC getting their act together and improving and making a good movie, then that works out for everybody. Because then Marvel can keep on doing their thing and let Warner Brothers handle all that if they want to.
Yeah, and also it's, I don't know, with the Suicide Squad, especially, just by name, that almost sounds like this should be a more adult movie. And, like, I know it kind of goes against what we were just saying, but if you're going to go with an adult theme, then, yeah, talk about someone like Suicide Squad. That's a pretty goddamn good idea. And maybe he can do something different. And he would have to do a lot of cleaning up for Suicide Squad. Because it sounds like they're going to put Harley Quinn in the Birds of Prey movie anyways. Wait, is it Birds of Prey?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. And that's fine. You know what? Have that.
Well, he said, like, they were saying, like, it's going to have a different tone from the first one. Because, like, you know, which is fine. And, like, they were talking about getting Mel Gibson to direct this.
Yeah.
So it's not like Warner Brothers worry about, you know, any sacred birds or, like, PR or all that stuff. It's like, if you're going to hire Mel Gibson, James Gunn will walk in the park.
Yeah. Well, also, it's like all that stuff with James Gunn, I mean, that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
And now, I mean, he's been pretty quiet ever since.
Yeah,
and,
like, this, you know, it's, the whole thing is, yeah, my whole thing was like, you know, he shouldn't have made them stupid jokes. It was a long time ago, and the only reason it became an issue is because people made an issue because he went at Trump. And, like, Disney, and I was kind of like, I could see both sides of it. Like, I wasn't necessarily defending him. I would defend him to a certain point, but I wasn't broken up over it because it's like, you know, you shouldn't have did it anyway. But at the same time, Disney knew that. Like, you, if it was an issue, don't hire him in the first place. Don't wait till you've gone or anything like this. Then somebody say something like, oh, well, we didn't know. Yeah, you knew. It's like they wanted to have the cake and then pretend, oh, I didn't really eat the cake. I got diabetes when push came to shove, when the doctor shows up. So they were kind of like wishy-washy themselves. But, you know, it's Hollywood, and they all trash. So let them do their thing. Let James Gunn do his thing, and we'll be fine.
Yeah. Yeah, especially when someone says something about Hollywood, I'm like, "Are you gonna defend any of these guys? Really? I know there's like the good guys in Hollywood, supposedly, you know, but you're just waiting. You're just waiting for all of them. I mean, Robert Downey Jr. is a real piece of shit for a long time. He's seemingly cool now. You trust him? Nope.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, it was a time where, you know, like Robert Downey Jr. was the fuck up and Johnny Depp was the Hollywood hero.
Yes.
And look at them now. Like, you never know how the wind blows. So, yeah. And you brought up Birds of Prey. Quick thing. Yep. That casting is real. I mean, not like bad. It's just unexpected. Like,
yes.
Rosie Perez, like, she's not.
Wait, what? It's not like, I didn't see that.
She's gonna be Renee Montoya.
So they went with an older version of Renee Montoya? That's weird.
Yeah, it's kind of like I was just weirded out, not that she got the role because she's a good actress. It's like, one, she's older than all of them. Two, they don't necessarily, Hollywood's not really known for hiring old women unless it's like, you know, you the old man, like you the boss type thing. Like, she's,
is that what she still looks like? Is that a, sorry, I looked up a picture of Rosie Perez now. She got better looking with age? Ooh.
Yeah, like the last time I remember seeing her was in Pineapple Express. And that movie was a while ago. Like, that came out, when did that movie come? That came out a while ago. And I remember surprised, like, oh, I thought she retired. Like I hadn't seen Rosie Perez in the longest, and she popped up that movie. Like, oh, she's a grown-up. I didn't know she was still acting. So when they when they announced her for that, it's kind of like, that was definitely unexpected just because, like, the age difference. But, you know, her, Margaret Robbie, Mary Elizabeth Winstead, and Journey Smollett. Like, it's a definite mix. And woman director, and I don't know. It's kind of like Warner Brothers definitely doing different stuff.
Yeah. And real quick, I was doing an image search. I just want to see what Rosie Perez looked like. And I forgot how goddamn sexy this was. Remember Men in Black? God damn it. White Men Can't Jump. Same goddamn thing, really. She's laying in bed with Woody Harrelson. She's going through her money in the jar, and she's got, like, that cut-off T-shirt on with no bra under it.
Yes. Rosie Perez. Rosie Perez was that woman for a lot of us. Yeah. If you were a certain age from, like, that late 80s to early mid-90s, basically before, you know, they don't want to compare every Latin. Like, before Jennifer Lopez, it was Rosie Perez, basically, as far as that went. But, no, it's like, you know.
Sorry about that aside.
Yeah. Just need to Warner Brothers is doing stuff like that on the movie end. And then the TV side, you know, the shows are coming back. And we'll see, you know, Black Lightning and Flash starts tonight.
That's tonight.
Yeah. Right, but my DVR. Yeah, but when I first saw the picture of Ruby Rose's Batwoman, I swore it's Photoshop. Some fan put this thing as cool. It's like, wait, this official? Like, I was like, damn, like, this looks awesome. Like, this looked real good. Like, one of those where it looks so good you can believe, like, they actually did that. And I was like, they ain't messing around. And they are not running. It ain't not running away from, you know, the superhero thing, because, like, it ain't Arrow season one when he's running around with a hoodie and mascara on his face or anything like that. And it ain't like the Marvel Netflix shows where you run around with a hood with no eyes and you don't get into the costume to the end of season one. It's like they going all in from Jump Street, and I'm guessing, like, you're gonna be Batwoman. You kind of gotta be Batwoman.
Yeah,
but.
Because you have to explain why Batman's not there. And what I'm getting at is, you explain why Batman's not there, and then then it makes it easier to explain that, yeah, Batwoman's been there. So she's not starting from the beginning, basically. That's where I meant to go with that. So, yeah, you sent me that picture. My first thing was, is that official? Like, CW official? And when you said yes, I was like, I'm sorry, that's the best-looking costume they've ever had. I mean, I can't think of anybody else that's got a better one.
It's not, because it's hard to do TV. It's hard to do costumes, period, especially TV, because the TV budget thing. It's like, you know, the costume, the hair, and it's like they got Ruby Rose to do a CW show.
And there's enough of her face covered up, too, that they can have a stunt woman do a lot of stuff.
Yeah. So, and it's funny, though, she does a lot of action stuff anyway, so they don't have to do too much. Like, they just got to cover for, like, the hard stuff. But it's not like she's one of those, I've never done action. Like, she does plenty of her own stunts and like that. Quick aside, breaking news, The Rock is going to be in a Netflix movie, and he's going to star as John Henry.
Oh, wow. He's talked about wanting to do that role anyways.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he had something on his Instagram thing. On his Instagram account about a big announcement coming, so I guess that's what it was.
John Henry and the Statesman. It's like, it cracks me up. People swear, like, and you know why I just laugh at the whole thing? Because it's this whole, it's quick aside related to the rest, it's like, you know, The Rock ain't really black. And, okay, y'all keep saying what y'all want. If anybody who watched Ballers would know that's nonsense, because I'm watching this season, and The Rock sound like he got a lot of pent-up anger against the NCAA. Like, he come off as like, fuck these old white people making money off the backs of black people, and y'all don't want us to get paid, and y'all basically kiss my ass. Like, I'm like, if you see Rock in like Jumanji and stuff like that, or like his action moves, like, you know, The Rock's list, I'm an action star, but I'm lovable, and everybody likes me. It's like, I'm The Rock. Like, his race and stuff doesn't come out. It's like, you know, I'm just who I am. You see him on Balls, like, yeah, this is kind of like, you know, I get to curse. I get to really be me. I get to have sex with women, and I get to talk about stuff I really want to talk to. And it's just weird, not because he's doing this, like, it's at first I was like, you know, it's weird Rock doing Netflix. I'm like, Rock does everything. He's on TV. Like, it's, I ain't thought about it. He's a movie star that has an HBO show, and it's been on, like, you know, 3 seasons already. He's about to go on season, you know, about to have his next, you know, it's already been 3 seasons, about to have a 4th one. And it still hasn't, I still kind of take that for granted. Like, I know movie stars still do TV shows, but The Rock's The Rock. Like, Tom Cruise don't have a TV show. Like, Denzel doesn't have a TV show, and The Rock is, like, on that kind of level. And he's, you know, he has a TV show he's been doing while he's doing movies, and now he's going to have a Netflix stuff. And it's like, when does he ever sleep?
Yeah, well.
You know, and he's talking about coming back, like, you know, a rumor he may be on SmackDown for his 1,000th episode. They're trying to have him for, like, the Royal Rumble or WrestleMania because he, I guess he wants to wrestle this year. And it's like, when, like, he's got all this stuff, like, he's got all this stuff that's just going on. He goes from thing to thing. He just finished doing that Jungle Cruise movie that's coming out with Emily Blunt, and now he's filming the Fast and Furious movie. He did some other, whatever the hell, Titan Games, some reality thing for NBC.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, it's like, I need to drink whatever coffee he's drinking.
I don't think you're allowed to. And your profession, I'm pretty sure you're not allowed to be drinking.
I'm sure
the coffee
he has. Yeah, I think it will pass whatever urinalysis test I take, because I only test for certain things. So, yeah. But, like, back to the whole comic thing, it's like this whole CW universe started with the Green Arrow, and look where we are now.
And that's why I wonder when. Like, I know Stephen Amell, it was what, season 4, 5? What are we in now, 7?
7.
Okay. I think it was season 4, because he started getting pissed off because, you know, The Flash took all his writers, and then it started spreading out more and more. And the quality, frankly, the quality of Arrow went down. Mm-hmm. And he was talking about, well, you know, when the show ends, the show's going to end, and this and this. And you wonder, like, after a while, I know he was Casey Jones in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I don't know. Is there talk of a third one of those or no?
Right now, no, because it didn't make enough. So, which is a shame because it was better than the first one. But it was one of those, the first one being bad, kind of messed with the second one. So, yeah, I know he talked about, like, leaving and stuff like that. But it's funny where he seems real hyped about this season, because I think it's kind of like, because they talked about how we're going to get as close to R as we can. It's been the goal, like, to see, like, we're going to try to get, like, as hardcore as possible. And I think another thing that's, like, the crossover is kind of, like, it's just going to be 3 shows. So we can, like, kind of focus more. And I think it's, like, you know, learn. Because it's funny, like, the second half of Arrow's, like, Arrow was kind of, like, just haphazard. But it got better, like, near the end. And I think maybe if they pick up with that and kind of, like, you know, keep us working and get rid of stuff that didn't work, it'd be fine. But it's like, it gets a certain point where you just get, it gets old, like, it gets hard doing that physically, because he does a lot of his, like, we kind of take for granted where he's a guy that can act decent and do most of his stunts. And, like, you know, if you didn't know he's a super athlete, just watch him wrestle. Like, for a guy that wrestles, like, as a hobby, he's real good at it.
Yeah, I was going to say, you can't, I mean, jokingly, you can't say, well, you know, physically the show's getting really tough. It's like, well, you need to stop your wrestling on the side then, even though I know it's only once in a blue moon, really. But, no, I just, what I was getting at is, I wonder, especially with Batwoman coming up, because that's going to be a show next year, and not, like, the next go-around, I should say, not anytime soon. But it's like, after Batwoman starts, is there a reasonable time for Arrow to bow out, like, if something's, you know, successful? Or, I mean, maybe since, because he's been pretty quiet about that show ending now. But for a while, he was really banging that drum, like, you know, we've only got so long you can go with these stories in this. And he's really kind of gotten away from that. But I do wonder, like, you know, once Batwoman starts, if he wants out, that maybe it's the right time to go. And then just show up for a crossover or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, that's just kind of like, they got enough stuff laid down. It's like, you know, they can, if you know, if they want to, if you want to walk away and do something else, they can find another show. And, you know, quick aside before we wrap up, yep. You know what I noticed? And it's kind of like, you know, one thing or make other stuff you don't enjoy as much. I realized when I was watching Luke Cage season 2 that I didn't enjoy it as much. And not necessarily because of the show. It was because Black Lightning did Luke Cage better than Luke Cage did. And I couldn't figure out why am I not liking, like, I was watching season, so I'm like, why am I not liking this? And it wasn't necessarily a season. It was just like the actor playing Luke Cage is corny. Like I don't know if it was just this season in general. Like he just came off as just a cornball, and it was just like irritating me. And then I was like, I know why it's bothering me, because I saw Black Lightning, and we spent a whole time thinking about it. When we talk about shows, we only normally talk about like special episodes or great episodes. We talked about Black Lightning almost every week it was on.
All but one.
It was like, and we kept a pod like, sorry, talk about the show. The show is so good. It's like, yeah, with a smaller budget and more restrictions, it did like Luke Cage better than Luke Cage. And it was just, and it like, it's a shame because it made like Black Lightning being so good affected how I watched Luke Cage.
I think it's because, and we brought this up, because Black Lightning was an adult show. Not that Luke Cage isn't going through adult things, but they're so fantastical to where Black Lightning was way more grounded. I mean, you got a superhero getting pulled over because he's a black dude driving a car. Well, Luke Cage, you didn't really get that. And then you got, you know, Black Lightning's got his family. And yes, now they got superpowers. But at the time, it was just a regular-ass family. So it was way more grounded. And yes, that really stood out in the fact that, you know, the CW shows are all like teenagers basically. But this was like adult stuff. It was more grounded, I guess, down to earth, if you want to put it that way. So like, maybe that's why I haven't really had a whole lot of gumption to get through the season of Luke Cage yet. I don't know. Maybe I'll have a difference of opinion when I finally finish it, considering Daredevil's next week. So, anyways, I know we got to get going, so we'll save my long, slow process of catching up on movies that I should have seen already. Just let people know what's going on. The Mummy, Get Out, I finally saw that, and Mother. So. And we'll see what else I come up with later.
It's going to be one of those shows next week, folks. Yeah. So get ready.
Yep. And I'm going to try and get through some other stuff. I still got Alien Covenant to get through. So we'll see how Ooh. That goes.
Oh, it's going to be a ball.
I saw how long it was, and I was like, are you joking? So yeah. Not like Prometheus was short, mind you, but still. All right. So anyways, gang, social media, Stunt Granny. We watch stuff. You can check that. Yeah, so thanks for listening. Find us on your podcast platform, Stunkerini on Twitter. And, yeah, I'm out.
For Jeremy Mays, I'm Shahid Abdulhadi. And if you're going to eat brains, make sure you have salt on them. We are out.